Alchemical hypnosis is really understanding our alchemy. And alchemy is feeling into our emotions in order to make change. And there's no negative emotions, just allowing our emotions to flow through us. If we feel sad, allow ourselves to be sad. If we feel excited and happy, of course, embrace that too. But it's through our painful emotions that we try to block, we try to numb, we try to push them down further and further and pretend that they don't exist. But through alchemical hypnosis, which includes inner child, past life, and habit changes, we are able to understand why we feel a certain way and not let that way control us, not let ourselves run off with that thought, because we don't need to identify with our thoughts. But if we create our thoughts, we want to create those good ones that are going to make us fueled up and ready to go and ready to show up for the world.
Hello, and welcome to A Work in Purpose. My name is Wing. Do you see people who are living their purpose and wondering, how did they get there? Are you wondering, what is your purpose too? Me too. That is why I'm inviting you to join me on this journey. A Work in Purpose is our podcast for igniting and reaching our purpose together. Each week, I'll be sharing a podcast episode of me interviewing people from all walks of life who are working towards some kind of purpose, whether it is with their career, volunteering, creativity, spiritual practices, or just how they approach everyday life. We'll dive deep into their stories to uncover what obstacles they had to overcome to reach their purpose today. By hearing their stories, I hope you will learn from their journey and be inspired so you too can become a work in purpose. On this episode, we will be exploring what is hypnotherapy and how it can help you gain clarity on your purpose. Our guest, Lauren Bruno, is a certified hypnotherapist, and she's here to tell us all about hypnotherapy and how it can tap into our subconscious mind and help us with things like overcoming fear, releasing anxiety and past pain, embracing confidence and self-love, activating our purpose and higher self, and even connecting with our past lives. Lauren also shares her story of how a tragic accident led her on her journey to a spiritual awakening that eventually led her to discover and live out her purpose today. And we have a special treat at the end of this episode where Lauren will guide you through a guided meditation so you can get a taste of what hypnotherapy is like and also just feel awesome afterwards. So let's begin. Hello, welcome to A Work in Purpose podcast, Lauren Bruno. We're excited to have you on.
Hello, I'm excited to be here, Wing. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so I'm very interested in this topic of hypnotherapy. For many of us who might not know what it is, can you explain what is hypnotherapy and how does it work?
Oh, yes, most definitely. I love hypnotherapy. It's one of my main tools and tactics to release anxiety, stress, overwhelm, and discover more about our life's purpose, our soul's purpose, and who we are at a soul level. So hypnotherapy, there are so many different modalities and ways that people can utilize hypnotherapy and hypnosis. But hypnosis is a naturally occurring state in our minds. It's when our imagination is very active and really utilized. And it's the alpha and the theta brainwave state. So it's when we're in different types of brainwave states. And hypnotherapy utilizes those brainwave states to make positive changes in our lives. So a big part of what I do is transform pain into purpose through alchemical hypnosis. And alchemy is looking at other instances of traumas and pains that we've had throughout our lives, this life or perhaps lives of past, in order to alchemize through them, really feel, understand why they're there, allow them to be, in order to release them energetically from our mind, body, and our spirit as well.
Oh, wow, that sounds fascinating. So what state of our brain is it usually in, and how do you use hypnotherapy to get them into the alpha and beta stages?
Yeah, we're usually in a beta brainwave state. That's our waking consciousness. And there's a couple different versions of the beta brainwave state. And in order to relax our conscious and our critical minds and work with our subconscious mind or unconscious, some people call it, we just relax the conscious and critical. Hypnotherapy creates a little bit of an overload. So we bring up anxiety to drop into those brainwave states versus meditation is kind of lulling and pacing you into that But it's very similar in a lot of ways when you think about hypnosis and meditation as far as the brainwave states go and understanding how we can really change the shapes of our brain. Neuroscience has proven this, that we can add neurons to our brains. We can build muscles in our prefrontal cortex. And our reticular activating system is located in the back of our brain. And that's where we're able to create and rewire different belief systems, because our subconscious is really just our patterns, our beliefs, our habits, and our conscious mind is our analytics and our willpower and decision-making and logics. And our conscious mind doesn't take up a lot of our brain power. It's usually about 12% of our brain power. Our subconscious is what's running the game there. Our subconscious really is what creates our patterns in our lives. And we build positive and negative associations to people, places, and things throughout our childhood and throughout little pain points in our lives. So hypnotherapy creates a little bit of an overload in our conscious mind. So we utilize some different movement routines and pacing and leading and ways to just relax the body, really come into the body and feel into our bodies in order to kind of either feel lighter or heavier. Many people feel different ways. And a lot of the eye movements you'll start to notice when you're in a different brainwave state. So your eyes will have a little fluttering sensation or a lightness or a little bit of a back and forth. And so understanding how our body reacts to different brainwave states is really powerful.
Very interesting. What would you say are some of like the misconception about hypnotherapy that you would like listeners to kind of change their mind about?
Oh yeah, definitely. There are a lot of misconceptions of hypnotherapy and hypnosis. So we also work with right or left brain dominance. Right brains are a little bit more abstract, sociable, outgoing, physical, really just a physical person. Left brains are a little bit more logical, analytical, mathematical, and we're all on a spectrum. There's really no black or white. We all have a little bit of right brain, a little bit of left brain inside of us all. But if you are a little bit primarily left-brained, your fears will be loss of control. So people think that they're going to lose control if they're being hypnotized, when that's really not true. All hypnosis is self-hypnosis. We're all hypnotized many times a day throughout what we listen to, who we're surrounded by, who we trust, who we build rapport with. And because it's just a different brainwave state, it's knowing that it occurs with us naturally. Such a natural occurring state. So even when you drive to work and you don't remember how you got there, that was your subconscious doing all the driving for you, because that's all of your habits and patterns. It already knew the exact route and way to go, and your conscious mind was thinking about something completely different, breakfast or something else.
It's like being in a flow state, right?
Mm-hmm. Very similar. There are different aspects. It's a little bit, could be floaty, a little spacey, some people might say, but any other misconceptions, I guess, are to just know that we already experience hypnosis, really. So
great. So how can you use hypnotherapy to gain clarity on your purpose? Can you share some examples of maybe your clients that have found the purpose after hypnotherapy? And what was holding them back from knowing it before?
Ooh, great question. So how can others find their own inner purpose? A lot of people come to me for pain and trauma. So understanding that we have anxiety, we have past traumas that may be either sexual trauma or relationship trauma, physical and mental. And when clients come to me, it's to release those from their bodies and their minds, because we hold on to trauma in our bodies. We store it throughout our bodies. So if we don't allow ourselves to feel and understand why something happened, then it may transform into physical pain. So others are able to find their purpose through believing that they can help themselves. They can rescue their own inner child and really release those pains from those different pain points throughout their lives. And a lot of also what I do is past life regression. So people that are very interested in the idea of past lives, maybe they've had recurring nightmares that have happened, or they see synchronicities when you meet someone and you just feel like you've known them forever. It's really a great way to gain a deeper understanding of our soul's purpose. So past life regression and clients, they are fascinated by the amount of things that they're able to either visualize and see or hear, smell. We utilize all the senses throughout hypnosis and hypnotherapy. And people discover creative abilities that they wanted to have, but they felt they weren't good enough to have. And when they go into their past lives, they tap into that creative ability. Say they were a dancer or a painter in a past life, and they really loved that. But in this life, they didn't feel as though they were good enough. When they see at a soul level that they've always embraced that creative ability, then they're ready to embrace it again and really, really embrace their own creativity. We're all divinely creative in so many different ways, and we all process differently. So really the main takeaways from a lot of my clients are a deeper understanding of their psychic abilities. We all have different psychic abilities, and it's really some of us are very clairvoyant, which is being able to see very vividly and get downloads. Downloads are just visions that come into our mind's eye, our pineal gland, which secretes the DMT, which allows our imagination to thrive. Other tapping into their clairaudience, clairsentience, that all intuitive knowing, and really embracing our own empathy within ourselves and compassion for ourselves. I think that is probably one of the biggest takeaways from all of my clients are finding more compassion within themselves and being gentler with themselves.
Wow, that sounds fascinating. So can you walk us through the steps of how hypnotherapy works? Like, so if I'm a client, I sit down, what happens next?
Usually we come with a purpose. So there's either anxiety release, guilt release, or alchemical hypnosis is really tapping into that inner child, the past life regression, and channeling either ancestors or other spirits. So a lot of it is very spiritual in my sense too, because I'm also a Reiki practitioner and very much utilize energy work in our chakra systems. So it depends on each client, really. If they don't believe in that type of thing, I probably will go into the more scientific aspect of neuroscience. But really, for a good half hour, we have a deep conversation on life's pivotal points and what took you through either door A or door B. And childhood is a big part of our conversation, family tree, any patterns within the family DNA, understanding our relationship, because there's patterns in our relationships and so many different questions. It's just intuitively guided based on what the client's needs are. So then after about a half hour of speaking about everything consciously, then we do a fun hypnotic induction. And a hypnotic induction is overloading the conscious mind to drop into that subconscious. So it could be really anything. There's so many different inductions to do, but this is a simple one. If you wanted to do it, just rubbing our hands together, feeling that energy, feeling that heat building up between the hands. And then we clasp them together really firm, really tight. And then you could feel the energy going down the hands, down the arms, up the shoulders, and now lifting your pointer fingers and really moving your attention in between the pointer fingers and imagining that there's magnets at the top of those pointer fingers. And allowing those magnets to pull the fingers together tighter and tighter and tighter. And as you're relaxing and noticing the breath, just allowing your body to settle into the chair as your fingers pull together tighter and tighter and tighter. And as soon as those fingers come together, just allow your arms to settle, allow your body to settle and deep sleep. And so then we'll drop into a nice body scan relaxation, very similar to different meditations. And it depends on the person, how many deepeners are needed to be able to feel into the body. Usually people need about 2 different deepeners, and deepeners are relaxing the body and really feeling into the body, allowing all of our senses to kind of move also around our body and surrounding our body. And then we'll do the session, which it depends on the person really, if we want habit control or alchemical hypnosis is primarily my specialties. and will speak throughout them. Some clients will all be speaking about what they're seeing and visualizing, and then we'll pace and lead based on that. And then there's all different types of suggestions that help to instill different patterns in people's minds.
Wow, that sounds very fascinating. Even when I was just watching you do the hand thingy, I started noticing that I was kind of, getting into that sort of state.
And you didn't even do it, and you exactly. felt it. That's great. Yeah.
So I see that you provide a lot of fascinating services. So you mentioned inner child release, past life regression, and superhero goal setting. Let's talk a little bit more about each one of those. So why is inner child release important, and how does hypnotherapy help with that?
The inner child is so important because it's within us all. And as we grow older and we become adults, we tend to, you know, need to put a little bit of mask on to the world and act tough and act logical. And really, we still have that inner child in us. When we get into fights with a coworker or parent, there's a little bit of that temper tantrum of the inner child coming out. Or when we just want to play and have fun and embrace nature, that's our inner child too. So tapping into our inner child, depending on the person and what is being needed and sought, is usually going into different instances that just come up, whatever the subconscious mind is ready for. But a lot of the times, if we're working through trauma work, we want to be able to rescue and embrace our own inner child, really rewriting our own history through our brain, because our brain has no concept of time at all. It doesn't really understand what time is. So when we move back into the past, we are there for our inner child. We embrace the little us, especially if there was a pain point that happened. And we're able to rescue that inner child right in that moment. So when you're doing that through alchemical hypnosis and allowing those emotions to come through, sacred tears to come through, any releases that we feel in the body, we really understand why we've had those emotions. And some of those could be something that wasn't so vivid that maybe we forgot about, and they just happen to pop up, and that's what happens. But when we are able to really understand why something's happened, and I mean, really, our pain makes us more powerful. It really does. And as we really allow the pain to just flow through us rather than holding on to it and having it recur in our minds over and over, when we're using alchemical hypnosis with the inner child, it's really rewriting those trauma responses, because we have triggers and we all have triggers. And as we become more consciously aware and we practice our own inner healing and inner work, we start to notice our triggers more and why they come and why they come up. And it helps to release blame, victim mentality. If someone really has hurt us traumatically in the past, we need to let go of them, not for the other person that hurt us, but for ourselves, really. We are forgiving and forgetting and setting boundaries and keeping boundaries for ourselves.
Through traditional methods, I guess, of talk therapy and just talking out your childhood problems, that seems to just scratch the surface based on what you're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. And can you talk more about if there is a gap between the traditional methods and hypnotherapy?
Oh, definitely. So I think traditional therapy is great. It's amazing. Somatics is important. Just being able to talk about what's happened to us is really important. But when we're in those different brainwave states, we can reassociate our feelings, our habits, and our patterns. So half of the reason why it's a little bit of a faster way to release what's no longer serving us is because we are reassociating our brain. We're reassociating our minds and feelings. So every feeling, we have an emotional attachment to. Every past pain point that's happened, we have an emotional attachment to, and we store them in our bodies. So when we breathe through our bodies and we feel why we have a certain response to this pain, we're able to clear out and circulate our atoms, molecules, and emotional storing traumas. So just like, for example, anxiety, a a lot of us have anxiety and we experience anxiety in different ways. Sometimes people feel it as a tightness in the chest. Some people feel it as gut issues where they can't eat. And that that might be also a little bit of depression where you can't eat. But anywho, we associate feelings and emotions within our bodies and we store them and feel them. But as we're circulating our atoms through theta hypnotherapy and different energy healing tools and tactics, we are able to drop into our bodies. So we're moving away from just our mind and we're coming into our bodies, really our heart center and different areas in our bodies. And through my own experiences with hypnosis, I no longer have anxiety pain that used to come up as sharp pangs in my chest because I've been able to drop into the heart space more and really feel into the bodies and the chakra systems. The chakra systems are really associated with not only mind patterns and Maslow, if you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you can compare that to the chakra system, as well as just the nerve bundles that are associated with our bodies. That's really what the chakras are, different nerve bundles throughout our vagus nerve. And our vagus nerve is part of our spinal cord that sends transmitters to each area of our bodies. So that's really what we're tapping into. We're coming away from just the mind and ego, and we're really dropping into every little feeling, habit, pattern that's associated with our emotions inside of our bodies.
Wow, great. That sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. So now let's talk about past life. So that is a fascinating big topic all in itself, and that could be its own episode. But in terms of finding one's purpose in this life, how might past life regression help people do that?
Ooh, for finding one's purpose in this life, I think a lot of us, we go through patterns of different types of spiritual awakenings, and they're really just ebbs and flows of different emotions that come up. So sometimes we can feel so in alignment and happy and just love and light and ready to embrace every challenge that comes our way. And sometimes we could feel lost and hopeless and, you know, desperation might occur and we don't feel connected to people anymore. And it really just comes and goes and it allows us to see a bigger picture. So dropping into past lives, this is actually the reason I did get into hypnotherapy, was past life regression and being so fascinated by it. But people are able to discover more about why they have patterns to either fears and pain, but also creative abilities, why they're so good at a certain or why they just have knowledge about a certain area and they didn't know why. There are tons of children's accounts also of them speaking about past lives, and children have just said certain things that they believed they were, and parents researched and come to find out that was a person that existed. How would that child even know what the name and title was of that person? So past life helps us to dive deeper in our soul's purpose, really see why we have patterns in this life. If you believe in karma, you can understand if you've hurt someone in the past and why it might be carried over to this. And it's also part of our subconscious mind. So all of our beliefs and habits and patterns are ingrained in our past lives too. But you don't have to believe in it in order to experience a past life regression. And I've done many past lives on people who don't believe in it, and we just associated it as a dream. So just allowing it to be like a dream. But once you do experience it, you do feel as though this is part of you and you have a very big connection to that person.
Mm, cool. Very interesting. So do you think that, so time is a linear thing that we understand in our mind, but also there's, you know, a lot of people saying there's multiple life going on at the same time, all across time, quote unquote time. So based on your experience conducting all of these past life regression, what's your insight on that?
Oh yeah, there's so many different theories on multiple realities and our consciousness. I think of time like a storybook, that it's already been written and we've already kind of wrote it ourselves, but it's everything that we choose in this now moment, right here and right now, just allowing ourselves to be present within our own bodies and our own minds. that matters the most. And that's what influences our decision making, influences our past patterns, and influences our future. So there are so many different theories on different ascensions of consciousness. And if you look at so a big buzzword now is 5D consciousness and the fifth dimension. And right now we're in the third dimension, and that's Earth, planet Earth. And we're in a world of polarity. There's a lot of polarized society, and or a right or wrong, a yes or right, black and white. But the fifth dimension is known as unity consciousness. And it is also known as the Akashic Records. And it's also known as somatics and mathematics, sacred geometry and other instances. So there are a lot of theories and concepts, and really where I fall and I understand from my understanding and my experience is that when we are utilizing hypnosis, meditation, different brainwave states, being able to drop into that now moment as much as possible, that's when we feel more compassion. That's when we feel that unity consciousness. That's when we don't allow our triggers to control us as much, because we know why they're there. They're based on our past. They're based on our subconscious. So the more we are able to tap into that fifth dimension, the more we are rewriting our own time at this moment.
Yeah, sounds very fascinating. So I want to go and ask you about the superhero ghost setting service that you provide. How does that work? And what are some of the major breakthroughs people usually get from that? And what sort of blockages do they often encounter?
So superhero goal setting. We can utilize different ways. A lot of people, they might want to channel their own superhero, their own inner superhero. And this is really for self-love and empowerment. So we're rewriting our own scripts, say if we feel a lack of confidence, or we're being negative towards ourselves or others, we feel anxiety. It's a way to embrace our own superhero abilities and really enhance our abilities. But some people might want to either channel their own spirit guides, channel some ancestors, or channel their own superhero of themselves. So the more that we imagine, because our imagination is so powerful, the more that we imagine ourselves in the greatest way we could possibly be, however we see it, whatever goals that we seek in life, the more we envision this, write it down, say it out loud, and really envision it in your mind, get a good, clear picture of your crystal clear intentions that you're seeking in life, the goals that you're ready to change, and not allow yourself to feel that overwhelm, but tap into little bite-sized chunks of how you can just step your way, step into your purpose more and more. And so it's just very visual, very visual guided. And we work with different linguistics to be able to really set those intentions that we've set in the beginning of the session, which is usually goal setting, either through people's habits, if they want to reduce eating unhealthily and really embrace their healthy eating and more beautiful foods that'll make them feel good in their bodies, because our gut health is so important too. So that's a big thing, is really setting our habits for eating and movement and just embracing ourselves, loving ourselves where we're at, because we can still have goals in the future and seek change and seek growth, but we need to accept who we are now along the way and be gentle with ourselves, allow that compassion for ourselves, because we're going to make mistakes. The perfectionism is so real, and it's just hindering us. Perfectionism is hindering our growth, because we set ourselves up to fail if we put ourselves in a perfect mindset, needing to be perfect. So as we're in hypnosis and we're in the different brainwave states and we're able to tap into that ability, we can really see the big picture, but embrace where we're at and set bite-sized goals for our future.
Cool. How many sessions does it usually take for someone to get a major breakthrough?
Usually just one session. Oh, there's tons of breakthroughs through the first session. tears are really important. I really am adamant about that. Like being able to cry, accepting that crying is beautiful, really. I mean, we hold on to things so much and we think we need to be tough for the world sometimes, but it's through our own tears that we're strong. And so first session, if it's an anxiety or a guilt release or inner child, then there's crying, there's a higher understanding of why certain things happened. So yeah, after the first session, I would say there's a big breakthrough in understanding not only why we're the way we are, but how we can change who we want into who we want to be.
Mm, sounds incredible. So you said that your specialty is what was it called?
Alchemical hypnosis. So alchemical hypnosis is really understanding our alchemy. And alchemy is feeling into our emotions in order to make change. And there's no negative emotions, just allowing our emotions to flow through us. If we feel sad, allow ourselves to be sad. If we feel excited and happy, of course, embrace that too. But it's through our painful emotions that we try to block, we try to numb, we try to push them down further and further and pretend that they don't exist. But through alchemical hypnosis, which includes inner child, past life, and habit changes, we are able to understand why we feel a certain way and not let that way control us, not let ourselves run off with that thought, because we don't need to identify with our thoughts. But if we create our thoughts, we want to create those good ones that are going to make us fueled up and ready to go and ready to show up for the world. And that's really what it is showing up for the world and embracing who you are without judgment.
Mm, thank you for explaining that. So I would like to take a step back to learn more about who you are, Lauren. So before you discover hypnotherapy, who are you? What drew you into it?
Yeah, definitely. So I, let's see, where do I start? Ever since I was a child, I was afraid of death. But I was brought up in a very Roman Catholic household, and we went to church, and I didn't understand why God created death. I was very confused by this. And this is before anyone even died in my family. I just kept questioning it. I just kept asking, why does death happen? This is weird. It's like this joke of the world. But the more I realized just living in the moment was what mattered and embracing the life that we do have, the more I just felt close to the idea of love. Love is the only answer. Just loving people to their highest ability. People are to be loved. And that's how I felt for a while. But it wasn't until I got into multiple car accidents and near-death experiences that really triggered my mind. And I had PTSD from a lot of my car accidents that I got into. So
how old were you?
The first couple car accidents were late teenager, but the biggest one was a tractor trailer accident in Texas on a road trip across the country. We were camping around the whole country, just in different national parks like Mesa Verde and Grand Canyon and so many beautiful parks. But a couple of days in, I was driving and a tractor trailer completely spun my car around on the highway, smushed me into a guardrail, totaled our car, and cut up my leg a little bit, but really I was able to walk away completely fine, which is amazing. And I felt as though I did have my spirit guides with me during that moment, even though I was an atheist a good chunk after I grew up a little bit. So I had PTSD from that car accident. And when I went back home and came back to work, I was a design director for a company called Big Mouth Inc. And we manufactured pool floats and created all fun products, novelty products. But I couldn't drive. I had so much anxiety just driving to work. So that's when I found meditation. And this is about six years ago now. And I started meditating in the woods on my lunch break every day. I worked my way up from 1 minute to 3 minutes to 5 minutes. And then I worked my way up to about 20 minutes every day during lunch.
Where were you living at the time?
I lived back in Connecticut, went back home.
Mm, okay.
So this was amazing. I found so much about myself just through this meditation in the woods. And I was really able to feel an expansion of consciousness. And my boss noticed. He was like, something changed in you. You're less reactionary to certain things. You're able to handle projects much, much faster. And it's crazy how when we slow our minds down, we can process faster. We think we don't have enough time for a lot of these things. We don't have enough time to meditate a couple minutes every day. But really, if you do, you're able to process so much faster. And in turn, you'll be able to get much more done than if you didn't meditate. But anyhow, I loved meditation. I started recommending it to every single one of my friends. I was like, we all should be meditating every day, but everyone's like, shut up, Lauren. But one of my friends gave me a book called Many Lives, Many Masters. And this is a book by Brian Weiss, and it's a huge case study of a woman speaking about her past lives and being able to alchemize through these past lives, understand why she had so much anxiety, responses of fears, different fears, because we might have fears or phobias that we don't even know the origin of. Well, that's what a phobia is basically a fear that we don't understand the origin of, which is why past life regression is so powerful, because it can help us understand those on a deeper level. So this is when I went into my everything. I found out about past lives, and something in my heart just felt fascinated by it. It felt right. Even though I was very atheist and agnostic, I was like, now that I've meditated and really felt the expansion of consciousness and felt that I'm more than just this physical body, I'm energy that is outside of this body, then that's when I became certified in hypnotherapy. And I went to the Hypnotherapy Motivational Institute for a year. Very great program, covers a lot of different bases and different tools and tactics like emotional freedom technique and biofeedback. That's a machine that can record your brainwave state. So that's great for people that are left-brained, because then they can see themselves working into that state. Neuro-linguistic programming, just family systems, fears and phobias, so many different beautiful tools and tactics in order to understand our own mental capacities.
Wow. So on your journey towards your purpose, where would you say you are at right now? Have you discovered it? Are you living it? What do you consider, which stage would you say you're at?
Oh yeah, I really have. As soon as I became certified in hypnotherapy, I left my job and I was working there for 7 years. So really my purpose is to help people through their pains in their lives and be able to embrace who they are. And really it's just showing up for ourselves. We need to just show up for ourselves and be compassionate with ourselves, because this journey is never ending. We're constantly expanding. Our roads and paths might change a little bit, but as long as we love what we're doing and we're here doing it, that's what we need to be doing, is what we love. That's all that matters, really, is our souls on this life, kind of just getting out of that victim mentality, that blame towards others. If you're not happy where you're at, then we shouldn't be there. We need to be happy. That's what our souls seek in life, is happiness and fulfillment. And of course, it's okay to feel those low emotions too. And really, all emotions are valid. They're all valid. But really seeking our own purpose is just allowing ourselves to be, just allowing ourselves to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when did you first start thinking about your purpose? Was it when you were meditating in the woods? And then when the answer came to you, was it like an obvious answer, or was that something you realized over time?
Well, I would say my purpose isn't just one thing. Mm-hmm. I think our purposes are so many different things. My purpose is laughing. You know, my purpose is it's so little that we can be grateful for the silliest, our water, we're able to drink clean water. Wow. That's beautiful. Finding gratitude in every little thing that exists. That's a purpose. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of great purposes, like embracing nature and feeling very passionate about the earth and our connection to the earth, feeling passionate about energy healing and our chakra systems and our brains and our minds and the patterns that they create. My passion is helping people through trauma and trauma release and releasing that everything that doesn't serve us anymore. And I'm sure I'll find other passions too, but I also love singing, embracing singing, just wiggling around and dancing and fun different things. And yeah, as I continue, I'm sure I'll find more purposes, but I think the biggest purpose is embracing this life that we have now within understanding ourselves more.
Very beautifully said. And so before you kind of realized, you know, that you had all these different purposes and you were living a life full of purpose, what was that like for you before you kind of discovered it? Were you actively searching for it, or were you thinking about it?
So I like to call them spiritual awakenings, because they wake something up, they shake you up a little bit in order to create change in your life, in order to create growth. And I worked at this company for 7 years, and I was pretty naive to the world. I was a little bit toxic positivity. I kind of said, you know, we should just be happy, you know, and just a little naive to certain things that exist in the world. And it wasn't until I went through a very intense spiritual awakening where the veils were lifted and everything I thought about the world wasn't the same as before, really. That's when it was so painful, but I needed that to happen. I needed that because it shook me and it woke me up. So to say that I did feel like I had that another purpose earlier in life. And I was such a different person back then, and I still embrace and love little me, but I needed that darkness to wake me and shake me. I needed that to create the different purpose, because our purposes are always evolving and changing and reassociating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what was like the first step during your spiritual awakening journey? Like practically, what did you do to go down that path?
There was definitely an ebb and flow of different spiritual awakenings and around different timelines. So the first one was the meditation after the near-death experience, because that shook me a little bit. And meditation just completely opened my mind to the possibilities of how we really can create our realities, and we can release our own anxieties and pain and worries. And then my second spiritual awakening was really, it was during COVID. And I just became certified in 2020 as a hypnotherapist after a year-long school. So COVID woke me up to a lot of things. I saw all these different perspectives, and the perspectives were convoluted, and there wasn't really a right or wrong. And I couldn't tell certain people that they were right or wrong, but there was a lot of fighting going on. And that's when I realized that we need compassion for each other in order to create change, proactive change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I want to ask you, so there's a difference between inner and outer purpose. How do you distinguish the two for yourself?
Ooh, difference between inner and outer purpose. So your inner purpose, I would say that your inner purpose is what lights you up inside, and your outer purpose is serving others through what fulfills you. But an inner purpose can really revitalize yourself with your own self-love and being able to be and sit with yourself and heal yourself and really use all these different tools and tactics that we have now with understanding our own mental health. Our inner purpose is our soul's song. Our inner purpose is just being who we are and allowing ourselves to just be. Like I said earlier, I think that's what the inner purpose is just allowing ourselves to be, to sit with ourselves, to fill up our own self-love cup, because you can't serve others unless you're also giving to yourself. You're giving love to yourself. So then once we give enough love to ourselves and we're able to fuel ourselves with love and compassion and kindness, that's when it can trickle out to others. That's when you can help serve others, because you can't serve others if you're running on low and empty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you gotta do the inner work first so mm-hmm. then it can expand out to the world. Mm-hmm. What would you say would be the most important lesson you've ever learned?
The most important lesson that I've ever learned in the whole world Oh my goodness, so many lessons.
It's like the top one that just came into your mind.
Okay. the most important lesson that I've ever learned that just came into my mind was knowing that someone else's triggers has nothing to do with you. If someone is bullying you, pointing the finger, yelling at you, that has nothing to do with you. You can allow them to go off on their own subconscious traumas and patterns, and you don't have to identify with it. So that is one of the biggest lessons I've learned, was that other people's shit has nothing to do with you. Excuse my French. especially if they're pulling the victim card and they're getting very worked up and emotional, you could see that, and you don't have to react to someone who's reacting. You can choose from a place of response.
Yeah, that's a great lesson. Thanks for sharing that.
Of course.
What is one book that changed your life?
Ooh, I love books. Let's see. I'm reading some great books right now, but I think the one book that changed my life before I discovered hypnotherapy and energy healing, right before, was probably A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. That was a really great one. Also, The Untethered Soul was a really, I can't just pick one. I guess The New Earth by Eckhart Tolle was great. Also, The Many Lives, Many Masters kind of changed my life. And which one will I pick, Wing? I don't know.
I don't know. For me, it would be A New Earth. I haven't read the other two yet, but I should read Untethered Soul soon. All right. So what advice would you give to those who are trying to figure out their purpose? Where should they start?
For those that are trying to figure out their purpose and really see why they're here on this earth, tap into that creativity, tap into that play, that dance, automatic writing. Automatic writing is a great way to understand what our mind is processing. So writing as fast as possible, asking ourselves a question first, setting an intention, and then writing as fast as possible, just letting everything flow out of your mind before your brain even has time to process it. That is a great way to just understand yourself more on a deeper level, and you're able to figure out more about yourself. Because as we find our own self-discoveries, that's when we're finding our own purpose.
Great. And what about for those who kind of know what their purpose is, but they're, you know, comfortable in their comfort zone and they're too fearful to step into something that would feel more meaningful and purposeful with their life? What steps do you think they should take to get there?
I would say start with a little bit of the inner work, inner healing. And if they're fearful right now, we can't force anyone to want to change anything, and we can't tell anyone anything. People have to make that decision on their own. So to encourage people, of course, we can inspire by utilizing our own paths to be living through our purpose and working with our own purpose. But I would say any advice for someone that is fearful to leave their 9-to-5 or fearful to just work for something that they're not passionate about, take some action steps. Think about a year plan maybe, or just focus on the inner healing, because then I think the more that we focus on our own inner healing, the more we're evolving and we'll be ready to step into our own purpose.
Great. And what should people do every day to be more attuned with their true self and their inner purpose?
Do every day. Breathe. Conscious breathing. I would say conscious breathing is a beautiful way in the morning to just allow the day to unfold without going onto your phone, without letting outside distractions overtake your morning. I love to start the morning with some I am affirmations. So I am confident, I am strong, I am powerful, I am ready to serve a greater good. I am healing. I am a healer. Just different beautiful affirmations. And second of all, they're also very powerful to say in the morning because we're in the alpha brainwave state. So it'll help spark that reticular activating system to start believing what you're saying. So I would say I love affirmations in the morning and just conscious breathing throughout those affirmations, as well as emotional freedom technique. That's part of hypnotherapy too, is tapping on the energy meridians to block release emotional blockages.
That's a good point, that in the morning we're in the alpha or beta stage, you said? state?
Alpha.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, that's good to know. All right, so now we're going to go into the lightning round. So I'm just going to ask you a bunch of short questions. You can just answer with one word or a sentence.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, what's one thing you like to do to relax?
Sing.
What's one thing you like to do for fun?
Jump up and down.
And what's one thing that makes you enthusiastic?
Laughing.
What is one habit you always do?
Meditation.
And what's one habit you are working on or would like to have?
Ooh, singing in public.
Oh, nice. If you're not doing what you are doing today, what would you be doing?
Probably graphic design at a company.
Cool. And how would you describe your ideal life? Now you can expand on this one.
Not just one word.
Yeah.
I truly would love to be living in a little community where we are growing our own food and helping fuel a community through naturopathic medicines and different ways of healing ourselves within the community, as well as powerful workshops like energy healing and bonfires and fun, playful activities. And I'd love to live in the mountains in a log cabin.
Oh, that does sound ideal. I would like to visit that community. How do you define purpose?
I define purpose as something that lights you up when you talk about it.
Nice. And lastly, are there any requests you would like our listeners to do?
Any requests I would like your listeners to do? Taking that nice deep breath through the nose and filling up the belly, noticing any sensations that arise, holding at the top, and releasing with a nice sigh, allowing that sigh to come out, a little bit of a dragon's roar. So. It helps equalize our parasympathetic nervous system when we breathe and we hold and we release and we hold.
Oh, interesting. I'll do that right after this interview myself. Well, thank you so much, Lauren, for taking the time to speak with us at A Work in Purpose podcast. Learned so much. This was a fascinating interview. Thank you so much for sharing your insights.
Thank you so much for having me, Wing. It was such a pleasure. And I really enjoyed speaking with you about all these great questions and really what brings us purpose, because that is what matters in the world, is us all being able to have a purpose and feel as though we don't really need anything external to be our purpose. It really is just understanding who we are and what we seek and what lights us up and what excites us. So thank you again.
Totally agree. Thank you so much. I hope you've enjoyed this episode with Lauren Bruno and learned a lot about hypnotherapy. Stay tuned because we have a bonus coming up later with Lauren, giving you a taste of hypnotherapy that by taking you on a guided meditation to help you to embrace your authentic self. So make sure you find a quiet and comfortable spot and make sure to not do this while you're driving. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to support this podcast, please subscribe, tell your friends about it, and rate it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Please also follow A Work in Purpose on Instagram and join our group on Facebook. May your present moment, now and forever, be filled with light and love. Until next time, this is Wing, and you are listening to A Work in Purpose. And now, here is Lauren's guided meditation. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome to today's meditation on embracing our authentic self with self-love affirmations. This overarching question of who we are, diving into our own soul's purpose through presence and awareness. Thank you so much for being here and allowing me to be your guide. My name is Lauren Bruno and I'm a hypnotherapist passionate about embracing authenticity. So start by getting seated, get comfortable, making sure you're not driving a car, and get out any wiggles, and let's begin. Start to feel into your body. Take a nice cleansing breath through the nose, filling up that beautiful belly. Holding at the top and releasing. Another cleansing and calming breath in. Noticing the rise of the belly, the expansion of the lungs, the rise of the chest, and releasing. And one more deep, beautiful cleansing breath in. And out. Beautiful. Now start to take notice of your body, of all that it does for you automatically, breathing naturally, noticing any feelings or sensations or ideas that are occurring in your mind. Without judgment, allowing them to come and go, ebb and flow, as is life. We're going to start to take a nice scan of the body. So noticing the area of the top of your head, allowing your body to melt into gravity. Feeling every fiber, every muscle release just a little bit more with that beautiful breath. Moving down the head, releasing any tension around the eyes, behind the eyes. Moving down the face, releasing the jaw even more, allowing the tongue to relax and settle. And moving that awareness down the neck. Maybe the shoulders can drop just a little bit more. Relaxing and releasing every fiber, every molecule, every atom with the breath and awareness. Moving down the chest and the back, down the core, releasing any tension in the hips, with the breath moving down the legs and calves and feet. Beautiful. Now, as you feel into the body, knowing you are here for a reason, and you may repeat these affirmations either silently or aloud, or even allow your mind to visualize your perfect place of peace as your subconscious accepts beautiful affirmations of authenticity. I am ready. I am ready to embrace authenticity in every way, shape, and form. I am the master of my own authenticity, and no one can tell me otherwise. Because no one knows me as much as I know me. I am my own best friend, and I treat myself as such. I allow my presence to define my authentic self, and I easily release anything of the past that no longer embraces my authenticity. I know who I am through my breath, my awareness, through presence, through this practice right now. I become more and more aware. And the more I practice gentle kindness, the more proud of myself I become. I embrace gentle compassion with myself because I know that I am ever changing, ever evolving. When others are unloving, I embrace with love, because I know that's who I am. My divine self-expression is true to my own nature. I look into the eyes of myself and I see the real, the raw, the authentic me. I lead with authenticity. I learn with authenticity. I notice and feel into my heart what lights me up, what fulfills me, what drives me to make my soul sing. I allow myself to be, because that's the most natural form of living there is. Being. And as I am here, breathing in my body, I know. I know I'm my own authentic self. Authenticity might be a little bit messy, and I'm okay with that mess. I'm okay with that imperfection. Because I know imperfection is beautiful. Imperfection is real. And it's through my own imperfection I experience authenticity. I discover new ways to honor and express myself every day. It makes me feel excited to embrace challenges. I grow and embrace myself every single day. I find gratitude in my authenticity. I feel this gratitude in my heart. My authentic self knows exactly what I need and what I'm ready to let go of. My authenticity is defined by my own goals, my own wonderment, my own purpose. Even if I don't know that purpose just yet, I know through breath and awareness that's all I need. I no longer find comparing myself to others beneficial. And if I find myself doing it, I replace that comparison with care and kindness. Who I am is natural. It's a state of being. And my worthiness isn't defined by anyone else but myself. I allow myself to feel into every emotion that comes. Whether it be painful, I feel it. I know by feeling my emotions, I am expanding my consciousness. I know numbing my emotions hasn't helped me in the past, which is why I'm here right now. Breathing. Being. My presence is the embodiment of being authentic. Within my own authenticity, I am love. am pure love. I fill myself up with my own love. And by filling myself up with love, I allow my precious gifts, my authenticity, to spill out to others. I set micro goals for myself so that I can easily fulfill them. And I am gentle with myself, with those goals. I know that the more I embrace my own authenticity, the more others will too. I shine my own light because I inspire myself. And through that inspiration, I may inspire others. And as we inspire each other, we grow. We evolve. We live.